Welcome back, Interweb friends, to Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by Jack Esterberg.
I am here to review this movie for you.
Great review to you. Cody Wolf.
I need a computer.
Andy Wolf.
Nothing funny to say.
You guys, nice. Wait, I like it. I like it.
I forgot his notes, so.
Yeah. I did forget my notes, damn it.
Our movie this week is the 1995... I think it's 95, 94, 95.
I think 95, yeah.
Yeah, 95 movie, Johnny Mnemonic, starring Keanu Reeves. And as Andy Wolf just found out...
Dolph Lundgren's in this.
Yeah, Holy crap. We revealed that to someone who's seen the movie. Yeah.
I can't believe this is Keanu Reeves' first appearance, too, on this podcast.
That is amazing, as bad as he is. Actually, that is... I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, but he's usually bad, but his movies usually aren't.
No, there's some truth to that, too. But he is in his fair share of bad movies. That is a little surprising. Wow. Wait in the day to get Keanu Reeves in on here.
Keanu.
It's Keanu. That's
I've never been able to say that. Keanu.
I think it's pronounced Randy.
Randy Reeves.
Yeah.
With an I.
So we get... The movie starts off
right off the bat
with a ton of confusing text, and in very Shyamalan style, I was more confused reading the text than I was before. They could have had no text and it would have been less confusing. Yeah. They just start throwing terms at you that don't make sense. I mean, just like
the corporate
low-tech data pirates, info wars, corporations,
NAS,
nerve attenuation syndrome. It felt like someone had just been typing on a screen and putting words together that were not related to the other words around them.
And my favorite part too is you get the timestamp where it says Internet 2021. the internet is the location.
And then you get the internet in this movie. I would just like to say this is like. This must have been so early on that people didn't know what the internet was, because the way they deal with the internet in this movie is just not. No.
Well, it's hilarious.
It looks like Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I figure if this movie came out in 95, it was probably being written in 93 and filmed in 94.
Yeah.
So if they were writing it in 93, there was a lot of what ifs on the internet. And. It's funny because it's so naive at times. It's like, oh, that's so cute. That's what they thought the internet was going to be like at times. And other times you're like, oh, that's funny. Like, nice try, guys. You know, no.
My favorite, this might be my favorite, like, first line from a movie we've done, too.
Oh, God, yeah, and the delivery.
Because
it
cuts to, from the internet, it cuts to Keanu Reeves playing Johnny Mnemonic.
Starts right off with...
And he's in his hotel room, or his room with some woman. I love it because she goes, Johnny, yeah, never mind.
I wrote that down too. What was that? What was that?
And the worst acting...
Right off
the bat.
Actually, Cody
the first
just,
couple lines. The
well,
worst...
Cody's reading of that is better than it is in the movie. It's more like, Johnny, yeah, never mind.
I've got to get ice, but we already have ice.
Did this make any sense to anyone?
No, because then she's
gone.
Even
now that we've seen the whole movie, this made no sense.
She didn't
right?
steal any plans or anything. She just left.
She's this mysterious girl who leaves, and then they never bring her back. Like, she's not spying on him. She's not like a lost love or something. She's just a hooker.
I guess.
And we didn't even need any dialogue from her.
He
could have just woken up and she'd have left.
Wanting hookers again and all that. So it's like she's just a hooker, and I guess it's character development.
I suppose so.
And what now? What's okay? Because it said in the beginning, what these people are. He's a mnemonic.
Yeah, he's.
So they have these people who have implants.
Yeah, basically,
in their head.
Yeah, like a courier.
He's essentially a giant thumb drive.
Right, he's a thumb.
What we would now know in 2013 as a thumb drive.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he's a human thumb drive running around town where people can be like, "Hey, can I put my files in you?" And he's like, "Yeah, I've got some free space." And okay, like, can you bring yourself over to this other file and so they can get it out with a USB?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so complicated how they get it out, this, like, secret code that has to be faxed.
Yeah, but...
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't they just... Via paper fax, you know?
Take a hard drive and put it in a suitcase, like, any other bad guy and walk around this with a suitcase, or... Because he goes through security, and security knows he has this thing in his head. They already they clear him. They're like, oh, yes, you're approved.
It's one of the biggest holes in the movie. Yeah.
They let him through because they say it's some other thing. Like it's a device to cure, or to treat dyslexia or something. Like they think
he's approved by the government to carry this.
Oh, okay, that's what you're talking about.
The government approves you because get that out of your head. Yeah, well, I'm jumping ahead.
Not everybody can run around as a human thumb drive. Like the Keanu Reeves is one of few human thumb drives. Right. You know.
Yeah.
And it's a shady, a shadowy world of information transfer.
So he has this argument with his German or French buddy, Ralphie. On Visiphone.
Ralphie.
I want this out of my head.
You said 80K would cut it. He's basically got to go to Beijing. And in Beijing, he's got to pick up this file, and then he's got to take the file to Newark, New Jersey.
Right. I love how Newark keeps getting referenced in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the free world.
Yeah.
Newark. The free world is in Newark.
Yeah. Thanks, state of New Jersey, for providing tax credits to this movie.
Yeah.
So he then goes right to Beijing, right? That's where...
I think so.
That's literally the next scene. That's literally the next scene.
It's very confusing.
Walks through a riot.
Yeah. Just like in Die Hard 5.
But what I didn't even understand is it didn't have to be Beijing. Like, they could have said, like, hey, you've got to take this data from Jersey City to Newark. Like, you never get the sense where you're like, oh, Beijing. You're just Beijing looks like everywhere else in the movie.
Right, but... yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about technology, and this is funny because, like, he's in the hotel room there, and what's there, 2021?
2021, yeah.
And he's dialing up the phone on the TV and all that, and the TV's like a 4x3 Toshiba 24-inch.
Yeah.
It's like, huh.
Yeah.
That was their futuristic TVs, they thought, from 1995, right?
Well, which is funny, because they knew in the early 90s that HDTV was
right, you already knew
around.
All this stuff.
And they were actually already using HDTVs in a lot of Asia in the early 90s. So, one tidbit they really missed out on. Yeah.
That HD thing is not going to catch on.
Yeah. So he goes in. He's a courier. And
he's in the elevator and he like does something to himself. He doubles his
capacity from 80 gigs to
160.
Yeah. Uses a doubler.
2012.
Yeah. He's 160-degree thumb drive. Boy, the idea of a Tera drive would really blow these guys away.
Oh, wait, 2012.
Yeah.
Or 2012, yeah. 2021.
I think there's a great moment when he comes in and meets the people who he wants to transfer data with. Because he walks in and he says, super monitored.
I love how this is all done like a drug deal. All they're doing is like plugging in a USB drive, wait. You know, that's how it would really be.
But in the elevator, it's funny because he plugs in his head and it's like, yo, doubling your gigs. You now have 160. Don't exceed this. It will leak and you'll have only 24 hours to get it out. You know, it's like this whole...
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea also that the information is going to leak.
How can he exceed 160 gigs? Like, on a computer, you can't go above what your computer holds. Right.
Yeah.
Because he puts like twice as much as he's supposed to.
Clearly these people didn't understand the idea of file compression. I mean, you can compress a file.
Or also the idea, like, if I have a thumb drive that holds, whatever, 50 gigs... I can't put 51 gigs on and that last gig is spilling out. It just doesn't go.
Right.
Like, you know. Oh, it's not like a jug of water. You're walking around with, oh no, got some coming out the top.
And the great thing with this is the callbacks in this film, there's a couple of them, are like immediate. Yeah. Like he walks out of the elevator, he walks in the room like, we got 320 gigs. It's like, that was a quick callback on that one, wasn't it?
That was. Wow.
Well, there's this great moment when he comes in.
Callback. Right, you know? Just boom, he's right there.
Just so you don't forget.
Jack and I were texting while he was watching the movie because Keanu gives new meaning to monotone.
Oh, God. Yes. Well, he always has.
And we're on a sliding scale because Keanu's always monotone, but this is like, I'm going full monotone. Right.
And I wasn't sure for a while if he was supposed to be a robot or a human.
You don't know.
And I was like, is he a robot? Because it's always monotone. well-dressed type of robotic stuff.
I was giving this movie a little bit of a chance. I was like, if that's where they're going, they're really playing that card pretty early. But I was like, well, maybe that's where they're going. Nope, not where they're going. He's not a robot. He just talks like a robot.
Can we just mention right now, you mentioned his suit, how you thought he was a robot. Part of that was because of the pristine, almost artificial suit he's wearing.
Right.
I love it in movies. You see this a lot in movies about the future, is the way business suits are going to look in the future. And they always do something really dumb, and this movie's a great example. He's wearing this shimmery...
Yeah.
It's a black suit, but when you look at it under certain lights, there's like a shimmery effect to it. The tie has absolutely no knot in it. It's just sort of like a pencil-thin tie. And, you know, like the sleeves are, of the jacket are a little shorter than a normal suit would be. It's like, why do they always bother to waste money and time designing a future suit? I don't get it. Suits don't change much. You look at a suit from the 70s, you look at a suit from the 90s, you look at a suit from today. Yeah, there's varying differences in material, maybe color, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
button placement on the jacket. Very subtle changes.
Now, so, and then he goes in the room and these Asian, whatever the hell they were.
We're wearing hackers, normal suits, by the way.
Hackers. Yeah. But they were acting so, I wasn't sure if they were bad guys or good guys. Well, they're acting like... they were setting him up.
I got to do this line reading. So he walks in. Keanu's like...
This is what? Go ahead.
Well, Keanu's like, question. They're like, yes? You don't look like the kind of people I usually work with.
I was like, wow, what a
And
racist.
I'm like, what does that mean? Wow. Well, but I'm also
Asians?
Like...
Is he racist?
But here's, here's the other thing I wanted to say in this movie. I'm like, we're like 6 minutes into this movie. Okay, we don't know who you usually work with. This is the first time we've seen you work with anyone.
I know, what does that mean?
Okay, like, sure. I don't know if they're different. Like, you know, like they could be like everyone you work with. Oh, you know, thanks. And then their response is, we're new at this. Which, again, I'm like, okay, maybe they are. Like, we have no background. So you're supposed to be like, oh, this is a weird transaction.
I guess,
but
right.
is it? I don't know. Like, we've never seen him make a transaction before. So they load him up with 320 gigs, which is incredibly painful and looks very similar to Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall.
Like he's grimacing. He's like, and all this stuff's flying into his brain.
Yeah.
Which then he goes to the bathroom to throw up.
Yeah, right. Which is what my USB drive does every time I use it.
The great thing, too, is they all of a sudden, you know, the bad guy, well... You knew these guys are bad because when they got in the elevator, they had long black jackets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, this is the bad guys. We can clarify that because they got the long black jackets on.
Wait, are you talking about the guys?
The bad guys. The guys that come up and
Oh, the other guys who come in. Yeah. The other guys who, again, we know nothing
Don't
about.
Don't know. No, yeah. And,
didn't you pay attention to the opening text?
I'm still wondering, is he a robot? Because all of a sudden he turns into a super...
Well, yeah. It's like all of a sudden he's an action hero.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
There's one thing I wanted to mention before we get into it. While they're like... torturing / putting data into Keanu Reeves. If you watch in the background of one of the shots, it's not even really in the background, but in one of the shots, he's like grimacing, like looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like who's, you know, dying in Total Recall. And there's the one Asian businessman who's just sitting there eating pasta, watching this happen casually. Well, like,
right.
It's such a weird look. Well, if you watch this movie, look for it. It's so strange.
Well, then when he's done loading up, they actually cut back to that Asian guy. He's got pasta hanging on his mouth. He's frozen. Like, what the hell was that? It's like, yeah, it took you this long to... to finally realize something weird is going
away
on.
From you was freaking
Wait
out.
A minute.
Yeah. Then that's the time you choose to eat? You know, it was...
Yeah, it was a...
He was really hungry. What?
A little comic relief.
And also, what does Keanu Reeves start doing when he's in the bathroom after he goes in there to throw up?
Oh, Tai Chi.
Oh, I was so afraid he was going to start bending something.
Yeah, he was about to waterbend, I think.
Yeah. I really got nervous for a minute.
So he's in the bathroom doing Tai Chi, and these other shady Asian people come in, and they start shooting the place up.
Shooting up, including shooting an anime character on a TV screen, if anybody caught that
yes,
one.
Yes, I did. Yeah,
and the one guy has that laser dental floss.
Yeah, which, I will say, was the best special effect in the
right,
movie.
Right, it was actually. It was. Oh, kind of
interesting. It was his gimmick.
It's like a whip or something that's like...
Yeah,
in the movie where you're not sure who the bad guys are, he stood out because he had that laser thing.
Thank God, because you couldn't tell who was who.
Okay...
Anyway, wow.
No, I mean, there was times where I'm like, I don't know. Am I supposed to know who this guy is? And they show the thumb like, oh, it's that guy. Because they had like
what are you saying?
Three or four different. Keep going, because there's other parts where.
Yeah, we should probably move on.
No, there's other parts where I'm like, am I. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was only two guys.
You know what? You're digging yourself deeper here. We're gonna move on. Well, and then we. So anyway, like
this is a scene I wanted to make sure I mentioned. I remember when this movie was new. I remember seeing the trailers and being interested, but I never saw it. I remember it looking like an action movie because every shot in this movie trailer was Keanu Reeves saying a one-liner, kicking the crap out of people with martial arts, dodging bullets. It really only happens in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, there's a struggle, but it's nowhere near as intense. About 90% of the trailer that I recall was the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Well, and there's... So Keanu Reeves is kicking butt and shooting, and he's getting out of there. And there's one of the worst ADR lines I've seen in any movie, because they just put it in where from the back of Keanu Reeves' head, where he isn't even moving, where he just says to this one bad guy, "Next time, knock, Baldy."
Yes.
But they have to play that whole line from behind him as ADR in just an inserted shot. It's almost like a studio executive sent them a note that was like, "Need a catchphrase."
Yeah. "Next time, knock, Baldy."
Yeah. Oh, this part is somewhat important to the film. I mentioned earlier when this is just so ridiculous that how complex this concept of just loading something on a thumb drive, walking to another computer, and uploading it again. He comes in, he risks his health by overloading his brain capacity of information, and then in order to get it decrypted and loaded onto the receiver's computer in Newark, New Jersey, he has to have 3 photographs included in the upload to unlock. It's sort of like a visual password.
Yeah.
And these pictures were chosen randomly while he was freaking out and then printed out on a slip of paper and then sent through a fax machine.
A fax, right.
Yeah. And when the bad guys came in, the guy cuts...
In the world of the internet, the best way to send information is
by faxing it.
The guy cuts it with the laser wire, the piece of paper. So now, oh no, and he interrupts the fax. Oh no, the fax was interrupted, and that comes into play later on.
Well, and he's doing this because he's overloading himself because this is the last thing he's got, the last mission that he's done, right?
Yeah, he wants to get all his memories back.
When he's done with this, the German-French guy, whatever the hell he was, says, yeah, after this one, you're done.
Which I just assume, that's like in every movie now. Oh, this is the last time.
Yeah, so he's like, okay, I'm going to overload it, I'll get it out, and I'll be fine, and I'm done with everything.
Yeah.
And so a computer starts telling him he will die in 24 hours if he doesn't get this information out. And
right.
That
now, does this fall under the umbrella of what we always talk about, the bad guy's plan makes no sense?
Oh, this makes zero sense. Okay, it does, sense.
Because what happens...
I don't even know if there is a plan.
What happens next, a bad guy? Yeah. There's a legitimate question in this
movie. In my opinion...
Movie.
Keanu Reeves is the bad guy in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think so?
I think so. Because at one point, they're like, I mean, going ahead and kind of spoiling a little bit, he's carrying this cure for this disease everyone has.
Right.
At one point, they're like, oh, it's a cure for a disease we can get out of your head, but it might kill you. And he's like, no, you're not getting out of my head.
You're carrying the disease.
And it'll save everybody's life.
The head of the company is beginning to feel guilty about this, you know, and he's being goaded by that random blue floating face thing.
Well, we'll get into that. But there's... I'm not even clear who the bad guys are.
You're not. Well, that's what I'm saying about... Well, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
It could be Ice-T.
I don't know who's who. They all were, like, the same people because... Okay. There was, like, the head of the guy... Well, what happened? It happens here, as a matter of fact. He goes to the French guy.
Yes.
Are we there yet? Well, first there's that weird bodyguard thing going on, which is, like... Wow, that chick really wants to be this guy's bodyguard.
Oh, God, this is so weird.
Like, what? So here we go.
We get a weird detour in the movie the career ladder of bodyguards.
Right.
And Dina Meyer goes
chick
to...
Chick from Starship Troopers.
The chick from Starship Troopers. She goes to Keanu Reeves' agent. She's like, your bodyguards aren't good enough. I'm up and coming. Have you seen my resume? Or something like that. And then those bodyguards get in a fight.
And
it's
she's
all this ridiculousness.
She's shaking because she has the disease, I guess.
She has the disease
that later
everybody
on.
Has.
But it's like, wow, I mean, this is really... She really wants to be this guy's bodyguard. I mean, is this
important
in the movie?
So this confused
me at
this point.
And we met her 1 minute ago.
Yeah, well, it started with a scene, yeah.
Yeah, this is all we know about her. She's, like, really
it would make
upset
sense.
That
this
she's
is our
not
transition
moving
in
up
Newark.
The bodyguard
yeah.
career.
It would make sense, like, if she was trying to get close to him because he did something to her, like, when she was a kid or something, like, you know, Quantum of Solace or something, that kind of...
Yeah, right.
She just wants a job. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which, by the way, nothing Dina Meyer's character does in the movie makes sense. When you think about this is her entry into the movie, she's like, hey, I want a job... And they're like, no, you have the disease, you're not qualified for the job. That's her basis. That's right. It. And so nothing she does from that point forward yep. ties into that at all, or would make sense based on that information that we have.
Right.
But, you know, okay. So what
he,
do we do?
I'm sorry. We jumped ahead a little bit. Yeah, he goes to the alleyway to meet the guy, or he goes.
This is my favorite line too.
Dark place up. To meet the
and
guy.
He sneaks out dressed up in some ridiculous costume that we never saw him put on or see him take off. Like he's got like a fake mustache. And
oh,
stuff
when he
like
left
that.
The hotel. That part. But yeah, so he goes to meet up, make contact with the guy in some dark alleyway or some shit like that.
As he walks in the room, you see him like put something on the wall.
Yes, yeah.
Some, like, slaps, glowing thing.
Yeah.
So then he walks, and this is another, like, immediate callback. He walks into the room, and he realizes the guy has, like, double-crossed him. And he's, like, she pulls a gun on him, whatever. And he goes, time to die. And Keanu Reeves looks at his watch, and he goes, time? And then the bomb explodes. It was, like, the most ridiculous line. He's like, time?
This movie has some real catchphrase problems. Yeah.
Right. So then he gets outside, and then... There's a weird scene there with Ice-T or whatever. Which one is it?
Ice-T.
It's Ice-T,
right, okay.
Yeah.
And
Ice-T spends the majority of this movie like looking at people through like future binoculars.
I would rather have seen this movie from Ice-T's perspective, because I'm convinced that even by the end of the movie, Ice-T has no idea what is going on or why these crazy white people are doing anything.
I think he was like the better character even too.
Oh, because he's not involved in the real plot.
Right, I think he's a better character than what
I've
seen.
Ice-T is like a highly paid spectator who's like, what's going... Like, watch Ice-T in the finale of this movie, because it's actually... It's legitimate character work by him. His character is mystified as to all the things that are happening around him, and he's been in like... Because he just pops in and out of this movie, and no one tells him anything. No one ever shares with Ice-T what's happening. Even though like the finale is happening at his house, essentially.
So Ice-T comes. It doesn't matter. He kills the guy for Kinawa and Keanu.
It's right there in front of you.
I'm looking at it. I can't even say it. So he kills the guy for him, and then he's like, "I don't owe you anything." Bye bye. He disappears.
Okay.
So then we get to the part where Johnny Mnemonic. Goes and confronts the German French guy.
Yes.
And of course the bodyguards get him.
Well, we should say too, he's already met him and the girl have teamed up at this point.
No, not yet.
They
capture Johnny Mnemonic and they got him on the table.
And then she rescues
and
him.
And she sees
because they're gonna cut the information out of his head. Away.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking this later scene when he saves him again.
Yeah.
He saves him like five times.
Then he's laying on the table and all of a sudden, oh, we're gonna get this information on your head, and the Asian guy comes in, and I'm like, who is? I don't know which one. Is this somebody I know already? I couldn't tell. Was it the finger guy, or was it another one?
Yeah, no, it was the finger guy.
Because he uses the laser whip guy.
Explain this to me then. It was the finger guy.
Luckily, they weren't talking in British accents, so you totally would.
But Johnny was getting the thing for this guy, but this guy was working with the finger guy, and so why was?
Why would the bad guy be chasing him if he's working for the guy who Johnny Mnemonic is going to see anyway?
Right. So
This is basically like Terrence Stamp in Electra or something where you're paying someone to do something that's actually counterproductive to your end goal.
Yeah, it made no sense. I'm like, well, he was working with the Asians already.
Why does he have Johnny? I think the
Why bust in there and try to blow up the place?
This is the only way. I'm going to set the table. So the laser, we're going to call him Laser Whip Bad Guy, who also tried to attack Johnny Mnemonic when he was downloading the information. And we now find out is also working with Johnny Mnemonic's handler. So you're like, well, everyone but Johnny Mnemonic was in on this, essentially. The only way my mind could process this as making sense was that they needed Johnny Mnemonic was the only one who could carry the data. So what they were trying to do was have Johnny Mnemonic put the data in his head, and then they were going to kidnap Johnny Mnemonic. They just didn't want
Couldn't they just go to the hotel room and say, oh, bang, 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 okay, we got the data from you.
Because they showed up anyway.
But I think what they're saying is in this world, they didn't have a way to transport the data without having a human USB drive, the courier characters.
Gotcha. So why not just...
Well, what was it?
Okay. Why not cut him in? So why not have him show up to Beijing with the gangsters, pay him...
Because it wouldn't be a very good...
Right, exactly. Right. He should have shown up. Right. Why wasn't he with... Laser whip guy.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That doesn't make sense.
He should have been part of the posse.
Okay, so it wasn't just me. I was just confused. That's why I got confused. I'm like, well, who's this guy? And it's like, I don't know if they... Yeah, they did establish this laser whip guy. That's right. I'm sorry. So I didn't know if... I thought there was like three or four guys. I don't know who's who in this movie.
Because if Johnny...
But I guess it's just the two, then.
If Johnny Mnemonic had been working with laser whip guy from the beginning, he would have been like, oh, okay. Well, this movie would have been 10 minutes.
Busted in there, right. Plugged him in. Came back to the States, been like, download it. Hey, we're good.
That's it. Yeah, good job.
And what did they want it for?
The laser whip guy wanted it because it was the cure. Because
he's trying to hold it. He didn't want anybody. The Asians wanted it.
Yes, they didn't want the healthcare or the
pharmaceutical. It's called the pharmaceutical PharmCom.
Yeah, which great name, by the way. Yep. Really inventive. The pharmaceutical company didn't want the information on this disease to be released.
Because the treatment's more lucrative.
We're spending way too much time on
it. I know, I'm saying it because that's what's so stupid about it. Like, made no sense. Anyways, so she wants to prove how good of a bodyguard she is. So she rescues him.
Rescues Johnny Mnemonic.
But what does that do for her? Okay, so wait. Dina Meyer drops in.
Literally.
All these guys, drops through the ceiling while all these guys are trying to kill Johnny Mnemonic and take the information out. What does that do for Dina? Like, what?
Well, she offers him. Or he offers her like 50
20 grand.
Or he offers her 20. She says, make it 50.
But what if he didn't? I guess this is what I'm saying. She would have just dropped in to try to help Johnny Mnemonic. And if he was like, man, do what you want, you know, because then the bodyguard guy would have been like, well, you just punched me in the face. So no, I won't be hiring you.
Right.
You know,
I'm not gonna pay 20 grand. Yeah.
I don't know.
So they, so she,
they escape and they get saved again by
the laser guy. He can cut through doors in the beginning,
but not
cut the guy in half. But that little chicken wire with a lock on, he couldn't get through it. He's kept hitting it. Freaking chicken wire! You can't get through with your laser thing.
Yeah. That's a great question. So Johnny Mnemonic and Dina Meyer escape, and is this where they then go to the abandoned warehouse where we run into Baldi again?
I don't even remember.
I think he ran into Baldi before he met Dina Meyer.
Baldi was the one who
blew up the bomb. And then the bomb blows up.
Yeah, that was Baldi.
And then Baldi's gonna kill Ice-T, and then Johnny Mnemonic saves Ice-T's life, and then Ice-T saves Johnny Mnemonic's life. They go to the computer store, right?
Yeah, I just want to go back and talk about
Here's
one...
Here's what they go to the computer store, I think.
Yeah. I just want to go back and talk about one moment. So back during the whole, like, time bomb thing, where I actually didn't realize that Johnny Mnemonic placed a bomb on the door. I didn't know why the door exploded. I thought the door exploded by magic. So while Ice-T and Johnny Mnemonic are hiding outside... separately, because they don't know each other yet, but are both fascinated by this. This guy just comes out and just goes, "We've got all night, a-hole." And I'm like, "Do you? Like, do you really?" Because then this guy spends, when he finds Johnny Mnemonic, spends like 5 minutes talking to Johnny Mnemonic about how glad he found him so we can kill him.
Right.
Which is when Ice-T kills Baldi. Immediately after that, his friend, who had to have watched this go on, his talkative friend, get killed because he talked too long, the other henchman comes up and starts talking about, "Yeah, I've got you now, and now I'm going to... Oh, now I'm dead, too." Right. Two guys are killed for being overly talkative within minutes of each other.
Monologuing gets you every time.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
So him and the girl get away, you know, they are saved by Ice-T and they start walking through like a tunnel or whatever. And they start talking about each other and she's trying to find out more information about him. And he reveals that he doesn't remember like his childhood because he had that part of his memory removed so he could fit this storage in there.
Yep.
And I just love it because there's a line where she's like trying to figure out stuff about him and she goes, "You got parents and stuff?" And he goes, "You have parents and stuff?" Like, he gets, like, really angry. Like, "Do you have parents and stuff?"
And then he passes out.
Yeah, then he just, like, faints because he has too much
in his mind.
Too many gigs in his brain.
Then he wakes up and it's, like, a day later or something.
Yeah.
Well, it's like hours.
Well, because the thing is, movies, when you get symptoms, either from having the disease that everyone has, or if you have too much data in your head, this is how I understand the symptoms. You're 100% fine 98% of the time, except the other 2% of the time, you are a total shambling, like, unconscious wreck. But then you go back to being 100% fine. So there's, like, you know, really 2% of each day, maybe 20 minutes a day, where you are, like, your body stops functioning. But it's okay if you just sit down for a while, you go to 100% productivity. And usually those times when your body shuts down are very convenient times in the plot when they need to work that back into it.
Yeah.
Oh, can I go back and talk about one other thing, too? So when Keanu Reeves gets kidnapped by his agent, like that Ralphie guy and Laser Whip guy. So there's a point where Keanu Reeves pulls a gun on Laser Whip guy. And Ralphie, who's his agent, who's, by the way, clearly a bad guy at this point. Keanu Reeves only has one gun, and he has the gun pointed at Laser Whip guy. And he tells his agent, Ralphie, he motions, hey, you get over there too.
Right.
So his agent willingly steps in front of a gun. There's no gun pointed at him. He's just like, oh, okay, I'll get in front of that gun too, even though you have no gun pointed at me. I was like, what a stupid moment in this movie.
Yeah.
Filled with stupid moments.
Yeah.
One of the dumbest ones coming up, by the way.
So I think, yeah, this is where they go then to the computer store or wherever. Because he needs a computer so he can get on the internet.
It's just futuristic.
Well, yeah, one of my notes was, thank God it's not this hard to use the internet today. Because
no, I guess this is elaborate. Like, he puts on these power gloves, these like VR glasses.
And he's like moving stuff around like it's...
I thought this was really cute. Because it was like back when they thought like everything was going to be virtual reality. Right. Like, it's very Lawnmower Man kind of esque, where you're like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Which is not, you know.
And it really said, wow, it was boring. I was bored at this point. I was really bored of this movie at this point.
Yeah.
Because it was just him moving stuff around, trying to figure things out, mumbling to himself.
It's decent computer graphics. Then it's like,
somebody owes me a favor. Yes. So he goes to this, I don't know, he went to this site or something where this guy was yelling at him,
and then there's another guy in like a white lab coat with the same goggles on, like trying to find him.
Yeah, he's pinpointing
in the web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's kind of like little tidbits to early 90s internet in here where they keep talking about bulletin boards and stuff. Because the kind of, and I'm really dating myself, like the pre-internet was like networks of like, they were basically bulletin boards. And they're still kind of like, it's funny that they're still using some of that terminology, you know.
So after they leave the store, they're like, he sets up a meeting with...
Yeah, they pinpoint him and they come to bust in, but...
Well, he sets up a meeting with the FarmCon guy.
Right, you're right, yeah.
But I love it because they're walking to this meeting and she starts... seizing. She has this like NAS seizure, and she's all like totally like she can't move her body.
Seizure is basically the Elaine dance from Seinfeld. Yeah,
yes.
So he's like got her, and he lays her on the ground, and then he goes, she's like really like messed up and shaking everything. He goes, I gotta go, I gotta get to the meeting, and he like starts walking away.
And then also every bystander just walks by, doesn't even look.
Oh yeah, nobody even does anything. Have we seen this? By the way, have we had the scene yet where Keanu Reeves punches a bodyguard in the stomach about 50 times? Do you guys remember this? Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
No.
I think it's like right after the computer store where there's like a fight somehow like breaks out, and it just involves Keanu Reeves like just rapid fire, just like doing nothing but punching a guy in the stomach like endlessly. I don't know if the guy was knocked out by repeated blows to the stomach or what happened, but and I don't know, there's some clause in like that stuntman's like contract where he's like, I can't be hit in the face, but it's just all stomach punches.
So as he starts walking away from her, she's still on the ground, and she goes,
Spider can help us.
Yeah, she said, I know this guy, he can help me, he can help you. And so then it cuts to them outside Henry Rollins' place.
Henry Rollins!
Who we saw once earlier in the nightclub or wherever it was.
Very briefly.
Yeah.
But, so they go to his place because he can apparently help him.
He's a doctor.
And he can help her. And
then we're treated to two heavyweights of acting.
Yeah, oh my God, Henry Rollins is...
him and Keanu Reeves together was like Keanu.
I like how you look at it every time you try to say it too. Keanu.
Wow, that's cinematic history right there.
And one of my favorite parts too is here, Henry Rollins' line, because he's telling Keanu about the disease,
NAS,
and he goes, Keanu goes, what causes it?
Here, I got it loaded up right here.
This is my favorite part of the movie.
I got it loaded up right here if you want to read it line for line.
And he goes, he starts like hitting all these machines like around the lab. He goes, this causes it, this causes it, this causes it. And then he says something else. I can't remember what it was.
Which I agree with. This has always been my theory on the world.
God.
Is that all this stuff is going to cause something.
This technology is causing all of this. But it's just like this really, really dry, like, this causes it. This causes it. This causes it. And it's like, it was really, really bad.
Yeah. Yes, but that's always been one of my theories. So I was like right on with that one.
No way.
Me and Henry, right there.
Okay.
Right there.
And we should also mention, at the same time this is going on, the guy who we think is the main bad guy, who we haven't seen interact with.
There's a CEO at Farmcom. He's an Asian man named Takahashi.
And we should, and just to clarify, I don't believe there's a scene where he interacts with any other characters.
I don't
think
so. He interacts with the floating blue ghost head.
But
this
he
is
also
where we introduce this character.
There's another thing I was saying. He also interacts with the finger guy, the dental floss guy, too.
He does?
Yeah, he has a whole scene where, because it's funny, they're talking Japanese.
Just
to stop, because they don't want to subtitle the whole thing, he's like, your Japanese is terrible. Speak to me in English.
Yeah.
And the guy starts talking in English. And he's speaking Japanese back because his subtitles were small.
But let's talk about this. To talk about what's going on with this CEO guy, because most of his scenes are by himself.
Behind a desk.
And sitting at a desk, and he's going on his computer, and a mystery woman just starts filling the screen of his computer, telling him that the data Keanu Reeves is carrying, essentially, like, somehow his computer goes to a video flashback of his dead child, which is really impressive technology that a mystery woman in the computer actually was able to edit together family photographs somehow.
From memory. Right, from his memory, I guess, right?
And this is where it's getting really confusing, because at this point, I'm like, who is this guy? And how does he really... Is he the bad guy? And why do we never see him with any other characters? Oh, and why is he not freaked out by the fact that this weird blue face is talking to him on his computer screen?
But then at this point, too, there's one weird scene that comes up, and I don't know, maybe one of you guys can tell me what the hell it meant. With him, the bad guy, assumably, it kind of works, and some chick...
Presumably, I think he meant.
Was filling him in on... Remember, she's reading off a file of such and such... We used to be a CEO, was born in 1965, da-da-da. Now, was she talking about the girl that he was with?
This made no sense.
I thought she was talking about the girl that the bodyguard that was that Johnny Mnemonic's with.
I can't remember.
And I was like, why am I seeing this? I mean, because she'd be like 60, and she didn't look sick. I mean, I was all confused by the whole scene.
Yeah,
was that her she was talking about? Or
I don't know.
Does it matter? Does anybody care?
I'm not even sure. No, I
was like, why was it in there then?
You could say that about most.
Is this weird scene popped up?
Well, you could say that about almost all the scenes with the CEO or all of Ice-T's scenes. You're like, why is this in here?
Well, I think it's around here too. We get introduced to the most useless character in the movie, which is Dolph Lundgren.
Oh,
yeah, right.
As Jesus.
Because you could take Dolph Lundgren out of this movie.
You could,
yeah,
and the
totally.
Movie is because no
every time he popped up, I'm like, oh, he's
well, except
right.
for the jump scare at the end.
Yes.
You wouldn't have that jump scare in the end if you have Dolph Lundgren.
We'll get to that, but actually, I did kind of get a chuckle out of that. But we'll get to that then. That was the one, well, all right, we'll get to that. So, who hired Dolph Lundgren? Was it
Laser Whip guy?
No, it was the other guy.
The CEO
guy. Yeah.
So, and that's another thing. Laser Whip guy is working for CEO guy, but also working against him, right?
I don't know
According
what's
to the
happening.
End of the movie.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because, okay, this is where Henry Rollins now reveals that the code that they had faxed out was going to this secret like clinic where they're working on a cure for NAS, or they're treating people with NAS, which he works for because he's a doctor. So he brings Keanu to this clinic, and this is where he says that he can get the information out of his head. He reveals that it's the cure.
Can we clarify too that Henry Rollins brings Keanu Reeves to this clinic knowing that Dolph Lundgren is tracking them? How does he know Dolph Lundgren is tracking them?
They run him over, right?
Oh, that's right.
So they
yes,
know
they
Dolph. So why did he bring Keanu Reeves
right
to a place where you don't want Dolph Lundgren to show up?
Right.
go ahead.
So he says, "I can get this information out of your head, you know, and we could get it out completely." And Keanu goes, "And I could die too, right?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, you can die, but everyone's gonna die if we don't get this cure out of your head."
He's like, "Screw
you, man. You're not doing it. You're not doing it." And he wouldn't let him like get the cure out of his head. He's like, "There's gotta be a better way."
Henry Rollins is terrible in this, but I like Henry Rollins. Oh, yeah. He is not good in this movie at all.
Yeah.
No.
But he is working toe to toe with Keanu though.
I think they brought Henry Rollins down so that
they might have
wouldn't make Keanu look too bad.
Like, makes sense.
Bring it down a couple notches, all right?
Yeah.
Dry it up a bit.
So yeah, so Keanu, they basically offer Keanu the chance to save the whole world, with some chance that he might die, and he's like, "Why would I want to save everyone if I might die?" Like, that's
right.
You know, the needs of the one clearly outweigh the needs of the many. Yeah.
So and this is where then Dolph Lundgren busts in
with a great line.
Oh yeah, what's he say?
He's like, "Halt, sinners!" Because Dolph Lundgren.
How's he dressed in this? He's got like really, really long hair, and he's dressed like Jesus.
Well, he's got like a knife that's shaped like a crucifix.
Yeah.
And basically, he's like this really crazy religious nut hitman who believes he must cleanse the earth.
So the Pharmacom CEO has hired Laser Whip Guy, and separately hired Dolph Lundgren.
And they're now racing to get.
And they are
Johnny
not
Ramana.
Working together. Right. They are in separate. They are on separate paths, completely separate tracking paths. But Dolph Lundgren was apparently a better tracker, so he finds them. Yeah, at this.
He conveniently shows up whenever. He's got like horror movie monster like logic. Like he just shows up when it's convenient. Whereas the Laser Whip Yakuza guy, you get the sense that every now and then he's like, "Damn, we lost him. Ah, we tracked him." You know, makes a little more sense.
There's also a great moment where Keanu is like, "Who was that? You know, what is that guy's deal?" And this movie, we joked about this in Super Mario. I'm fascinated by how all these movies look the same. Total Recall, Super Mario Brothers, Demolition
Double
Man,
Dragon.
Double Dragon. Interior sets, you know, your exteriors are clearly shot on sound stages. Everything has this same look.
It's always like destroyed cars all over the place, and
including a scene where a burning car randomly drops down on Keanu Reeves.
It's one of the dumbest moments I've ever seen.
That is one of the dumbest. I was in awe of the choice.
Well, that's coming up
there.
Here, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's coming right up here actually.
Because Dolph Lundgren breaks in and he attacks Henry Rollins, and Henry Rollins yells at Keanu, "Go see Jones, take him to Jones." And they leave, and then Henry Rollins gets killed.
And let's go right here.
To protect a guy who refuses to help cure a disease, right. Henry Rollins gets killed.
Right.
He might be like, "Are you going to get that information out of Dolph Lundgren? Why don't you kill him for me?"
Yeah. And so they take Henry Rollins' car, which is an important point for just how crazy the moment we're about to experience is.
Spider. Yep.
They take Henry Rollins' car to go and see Jones, who lives in this elaborate, very Demolition Man-esque kind of
San Francisco Bridge, isn't it?
New York City area.
Oh, New York City
bridge.
Area? Okay, some bridge that they call heaven. They're in Newark,
They're called low-techs or whatever. They're people who believe in doing things like steam-powered and gasoline and stuff as opposed to, like, microchips. And
it's basically iced tea steampunk. It's iced tea
steampunk.
That's what
I'm bringing up.
He is steampunk.
That's right. Yeah. That's where it starts.
Yeah. So they pull up. They park Henry Rollins' car at where, like, the elevator into the square is, and they get out and they're trying to yell. But
they get into this conversation where she's like, why won't you sacrifice yourself? And he's like, "I want room service."
Oh no, that's after.
Oh, that is.
That's after.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. He flips out
that's
after.
So they're yelling up to these guys, and for for no reason, these guys have like headphones on and can't hear it, and they accidentally drop a flaming car about 8 stories onto Henry Rollins' car. And no one is fazed by this. The people who dropped the flaming car aren't fazed by it. Keanu is not fazed by it. A flaming car just
came out
of the sky.
No, he's fazed by it because he has one of the best lines in the movie, because even he jumps up and says, "What the F is going on here? What the F is going on here?
But he's
I'm
not
sort
like...
of thinking, yes, please tell me what the F is going on here. Even he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, and, but he's not like scared like they're trying to kill us. He's no, like, hey, hey,
it's too close.
Can it with the flaming cars?
I've had enough of your antics for one evening.
How does he not think that they're trying to kill him? Right, they just blew up. In fact, when the people up in the bridge realized they dropped a flaming car and they were like, did we kill him?
And then he launches into how he wants press shirts and hotel rooms and hookers.
Holy cow.
$1,000 hooker.
Yeah.
I will go on record as saying this is, I think, the craziest monologue we've seen. The craziest monologue we've seen
on
the show.
It was like a Nick Cage flip out, too. But with Keanu Reeves, his little stink
on it. And
it
came from nowhere. All of a sudden, a flaming car destroying the car of a guy he had just met sets Keanu Reeves off to the point where he goes on this elitist rant on how he wants room service and laundered shirts, with Dina Meyer just looking at him like, I don't know what to tell you.
And you know what? To tell you the truth, if he didn't have the suit on, I wouldn't even know he was used to that type of life.
Yeah, how do we know?
I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that because we saw him in the hotel room, I guess, in the beginning, but that
I have the monologue if you want it.
Oh, it's terrible.
I think it's too much.
Yeah, do it very dry, though. Yeah.
You do. Listen, you listen to me. You see that city over there? That's where I'm supposed to be. Not down here with the dogs and the garbage and the effing last month's newspapers blowing back and forth. I've had it with them. I've had it with you. I've had it with all this. I want room service.
Too much passion.
Yeah, there's way too much
emotion. Too much passion.
I want the club sandwich.
that was the one for me where I just fell back on the sofa. I'm like, you want the club sandwich?
I want the cold Mexican beer. I want $1,000 a night hooker. I want my shirts laundered like they do at the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo. That's it.
Shouldn't they, and this is where I agree with Andy Cody, that they should have set up better that he had this sweet lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because when we meet him,
he's in a dark room.
I don't know
room.
Anything about his lifestyle.
Yeah, he's in a dark room, then he goes to Beijing.
I don't know anything about his job. I don't know anything about him.
Other than he's got a suit on, I thought the whole world was like this.
Yeah, no, because you never see any of like they're trying to set up, this is the Ice-T character. This is when they start introducing a plot point that should have been there from the beginning, is that there's haves and have-nots.
Right.
That they're the rich elite who have all the technology that can plug stuff into their brains, that have access to the virtual reality world, that have all the amenities that come along with a futuristic society. And then you've got the dregs of society who live in rusted-out cars and, you know, they're being affected negatively by the technology, these diseases, they can't live the lives the way they want to, they feel it's unfair.
They established that by when he contacted the corporate guy. He was white and was in a suit.
Oh, okay.
So that was established then.
Oh, okay. I guess. So now Ice-T is back in the movie. Because he just kind of like comes back, comes and goes.
Yeah, he comes down the elevator, the platform elevator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you watch this movie, if you haven't seen it, if you watch it, one of the great things to watch for is how Ice-T leaves scenes. Like, he leaves. Ice-T never really leaves a scene with saying like, oh, okay, I'm going to catch you guys later, or, you know, okay, see you later, or like, here's what I'm going to do. Ice-T just kind of drifts out of scenes. Every time he's on, you could leave it with going, we might never see him again. I don't know if he's in this movie again, because he never seems to relate to any other character. And then when he comes back in, he seems as surprised as anyone that he's in this movie. He's like, oh, you guys are back. Oh, okay. This is still going on. All right. You know? So they're like, oh, okay, Spider, Henry Rollins, this guy may have the cure for this disease that's affecting everyone. Take him to Jones. And now,
this was the most laughable moment for me.
I have no idea what this even was. I have no idea what this was.
They take him into this room.
Is this serious? Like, this is the moment where you ask yourself, is this happening?
Yeah.
This is happening.
They take him into
this
room, and they're like, okay, it's time to meet Jones.
Jones can get the information out.
Yeah, apparently Jones is the only one who can get this information out of his head.
Super hacker.
So they bring, he's a super hacker. So they bring Keanu into this room, and there's this big tank there, and there's a dolphin in the tank wearing headgear, like a steampunk headgear.
And even has a smile on his face.
Yeah, and Ice-T goes, "This is Jones."
Dead serious.
And even Keanu's like, "What the? This is Jones? He's a dolphin."
And Ice-T's like, "Hey, man, don't be messing with Jones." Yeah. You know, like well, okay.
And then Jones,
Jones gets angry.
Tries to kill, yeah, tries to kill Johnny.
Casey. Well, yeah.
Because, well, that's another callback that.
Oh, yeah, it's later on, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he, like, freezes Johnny in some, like, super ray or something. Yeah, nice. He's like, no, no, man, he's cool.
He's cool. So the dolphin is a hacker somehow?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it the thing on his head? Or
I will say they spent a considerable amount of money on this prosthetic dolphin.
How does it work?
I don't know.
This poor dolphin. He's just in a tiny little tank.
I was saying he's in this tank about the size of him the whole time.
Right.
This looks like a terrible life, by the way. Yeah, you know.
Where's PETA on this one?
I know. Well, it's a good thing that Jones the dolphin is one of the worst audio animatronic, you know, things ever. Or else PETA would have been up in arms. Right. You know, if it wasn't obvious to anyone but a 2-year-old that this dolphin is made 100% of plastic.
Not to mention the fact that it is a dolphin hacker.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now, Jones. So at some point, then Johnny's like, "You know what? I got nothing else going on. Fine, I'll let this dolphin get inside my head."
At first he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. And then he starts walking away, and Ice-T goes, "Do what you gotta do, man." He's like, "Okay, I'll do it." And I was that was it. And he's like, all of a sudden he's convinced.
He's like, "Yeah, all right."
Yeah. Yeah,
That's all it took?
I don't know what. Another crazy moment. So the codes that they need to access his information are...
They've got like 2 of the 3.
They have like 2 of the... And they're like comic book pictures.
Yeah, they have
like,
one.
Like manga comic book pictures.
Yeah, which are stills from a TV. But somehow he's got to remember these pictures or something.
They're the code. The
dolphin's got to... He's got to find them inside himself.
This is another trend that comes up in our movies. Because they don't have the... Because they don't have a fax machine to have the codes faxed to them, because in 2020 everyone's getting faxes, he has to hack in the words of Ice-T, "Hey man, you got to hack your own brain."
Right. Yeah.
You have to go in there and find out where those codes are. And
is that Mike Tyson or
sounds like Mike Tyson?
No, you know Ice-T. He's got a little this going on. He's got to hack his own brain.
Hack your own brain.
And I don't know what that means, but essentially what it ends up
meaning is... Because he wasn't supposed to know these or have these images anyway. So.
He's not supposed to... Well, and he ends up doing what so many of our characters do, which is they incept themselves, like Last Airbender style, you somehow go into your own brain and investigate things in your own brain from the inside.
Yep, yep.
And walk around, you know, see what's going on over there.
So, of course, they start the process, and it's interrupted by the Usaga...
Yakuza.
Because they're pissed off because...
Wait, what did you call them
again? Usaga.
Usaga? That doesn't even sound menacing.
It's because they accidentally drop another bug on one of their henchmen. So the chick freaks out and starts bazooking the place.
Yeah, some random character.
She starts RPGing the place.
Some random character gets killed, and she screams his name. "Bob, you killed Bob! Who the hell are you?"
And I don't know. And she starts RPGing.
Are you supposed to know who she was?
I don't know. That's why I was wondering.
I don't know.
We're not, right? Because I didn't...
She's portraying more emotion than any other character in this movie. I was like, do we know? Do we know you? And she starts going crazy with RPGs, where all the good and bad guys are up in this tiny controlled area. Even some of the bad guys are like, what?
Hey, wait a minute, with RPGs.
Yeah, cool it.
So, of course, it gets interrupted, the stream and whatever, and then...
What happens? Dolph Lundgren shows up.
The Ice-T kills the bazooka lady.
I think the whole thing is
everybody
happening.
Everybody shows up. The bad guy, the 2 Asian guys,
even,
and Dolph.
Even Takahashi, shows up. And then that giant blue head.
Magically, this all of a sudden... The CEO is there.
Yeah. Yep.
How is he there?
Why did the CEO come?
Because he is there separately from Dolph Lundgren and separately from his other henchman, Laser Whip Guy. All three arrived in separate cars and somehow got inside this structure. That is impossible. And he's just walking around. He is not even like... You know, thank God he's wearing a suit. Not even like, "Oh, okay, well, I'm glad I found you, Johnny Mnemonic." Glad I found you in Ice-T's lair, because yeah. this is where I hang out.
Oh. Right, because what happens?
I don't. This whole thing, I don't even know. I can't remember.
I think the CEO is the first
it
one
goes,
to get
well,
it.
Well, there's. I think it's happening at the same time where Keanu's still in his head fighting some... I don't know what's going on. He's, like, unlocking this big thing in his in virtual reality.
Yes.
While all these other people are fighting all these other people.
Okay.
Yes, and everybody's fighting everybody.
Eventually, Dolph Lundgren gets set on fire.
Well, yeah, but that's later, because he's, like, the last one. But the CEO gets it first, because he confronts Johnny. Doesn't he beat him down or something? Then the weird lady shows up on the giant, all the 4x3 TVs.
Oh, we've got to talk about this.
She shows up. She's like, he's got the cure.
Now, okay, and let's talk about this. The mystery woman doesn't just appear on the TVs in Ice-T's headquarters. She appears
in front of
the TVs.
Right.
Wow.
Giant
this
projection.
This is really impressive ghost in the machine technology, right, which right, I think they've revealed at this point that she is a ghost in the machine.
Right.
Yep.
She's the CEO's... well,
she was the previous CEO who died,
yeah,
but
yeah.
implanted her consciousness into the computer system.
I didn't get any of this.
And yeah. now she feels guilty about this cure that they never released, right. So she's trying to guilt trip Takahashi into doing what she couldn't.
Yes.
And he says, screw you, and cuts the cable.
Watch this another moment. And again, if you watch this movie, watch it for Ice-T. Watch Ice-T while this is going on. His character looks beyond mystified, like, why is there a weird woman coming out of the TVs in my headquarters? It makes no, like, he looks as confused as everyone in the audience, and he's just looking at it, like, because everyone can see it. Everyone's watching yeah. this weird woman's face,
yeah.
laying a massive guilt trip on everybody.
So Takahashi says, like, well, you know, screw yourself. He cuts the cable.
Yeah.
And I guess he's still going to cut off Johnny's head, right? He still's like, okay, I'm still going to take your head.
There's a point when the CEO starts
later.
Kind of working. Okay.
And then somebody shoots him from behind. Who shot him? I can't remember.
I don't even
know. Laser Whip
I think
guy,
it was Jane, maybe.
Oh, Laser Whip guy shot him.
Laser Whip guy kills his
CEO.
Own employer.
Because he wants, this was never clear why.
No, he killed the guy who's signing his paycheck. What did the Laser Whip guy
I think it's pretty much whoever has the cure is going to be
right.
a millionaire.
It must
billionaire.
Be it.
Oh, that's okay. That's so
Laser,
so
Laser
Whip
guy
is like, I'm going to go.
So their motivations now change.
Okay,
so now
I didn't even
Whip
pick
guys,
that up.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
his
that's
turn
what I'm assuming.
Now for his action scene. So there's an action scene with him.
Yeah.
And he eventually gets his own head cut off by his Laser Whip.
Of course.
Naturally. Then Dolph Lundgren is in it now. yeah. And he's...
Because you have
he's
to remember,
beating up the chick because he's a
he's got to cleanse the earth or whatever.
Yeah. So he's and then Johnny comes in and yeah. I can't remember what happened. So I was like checked out by
they like
part.
Electrocute him and
well,
he sets
Keanu,
on
well,
fire.
Keanu kills the laser
the
henchman.
Dolphin zaps.
Oh yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
That's
the
right.
dolphin zaps him first.
Dolph yeah. Lundgren gets his brain fried by Jones the dolphin.
Right, and then
Dolph versus Dolphin.
Then oh, the, I didn't even think of that.
There you
then,
go.
Then Johnny Mnemonic. Zaps him with the wires and that yeah
yeah
and then he catches on fire and burns to death
yeah and then there's a couple of great moments here at the end. The mystery lady comes on again who does some speech that amounts to like Johnny Mnemonic, you know,
you have it within you to find those pictures and
yeah
let the dolphin be your guide.
You can find the pictures and the codes, you can do it. Meanwhile Ice-T again looking at this being like, hey, what are you talking about, what's these codes? In my home, don't be bringing this stuff here. And she's like, okay, so Johnny Mnemonic, find it within yourself. Spoiler, the picture, the last code is a picture of her,
right?
Yes,
it's
yeah, right.
her. Like, how could
yeah,
she not help him?
I forgot,
that?
Yeah, the CEO gave him the next two
before getting shot. The CEO said, fine, here, and he hands him the other half of the piece of paper
before he died. Yeah,
or the second picture, but not the third.
But the third, when the third pops up, and it's her.
It's her. Yeah, that's the one they needed. So
right.
So again, this is like the dragon in Last Airbender, where it's like, I wish actually the mystery woman had done like a dragon in Last Airbender, where she's like, you know what, I'm gonna stop talking around things. I'm gonna be straightforward.
So then they hook him up, and Ice-T's like, get ready, bitches! It's coming at you and all that shit.
Yeah, because they're
because there's some hidden message that they're
transferring.
Broadcasting. Yeah,
so
they're transferring the cure.
So they transfer the cure, but everybody's just watching it on TV.
It's the internet.
I don't know.
2021.
How does that help?
Like, what are you looking at the chemical, like the chart that shows the
there's
chemical
all this stuff
composition?
I'm like, did people just watch it and like?
get cured?
Yeah, and like,
hope you all recorded that on your VCRs.
Yeah, I heard that line. It's like 2012. I know. 2021. I got dyslexia.
Even in 2012, there's no VCRs.
Yo, all you peeps out there, get your magnetic tape VCRs ready to record this.
Betamax, bitches.
Yeah, I laughed for a while at that. Because also, there's some things you have to excuse this movie for, but nobody thought that magnetic tape was going to be the feature of that.
For, 95, there's already discs.
Yeah, there's already discs and shit.
Yeah, you were already... Laserdisc was... I mean, actually, Laserdisc was relatively mature technology at that point.
I mean, maybe they took them away, but they didn't have any cell phones or anything like that in this movie.
No.
Like, matter of fact, when he phone call, he plugged in this giant red...
Yeah, he used the phone card and...
Yeah, he used this giant red phone like the old telephones that the guys on the
power lines
used to wear.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's had like one of those giant phones. I'm like... we knew about cell phone technology in 95 when it was made. I mean, didn't...
Oh, yeah.
Think there'd be some...
They already had flip phones at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, of course, the last little scene where...
Jump scare.
Where... Jesus's body, it's completely charred on the ground, and you just see it like start like moving, like its hand comes up and I thought to myself,
you gotta be kidding.
Its face lifts off the ground, and they're just like, look over, and for some reason, even though they know what's going on, Jane is like freaked out by this. She's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Because they're seeing what we can't see as the audience.
And then and then Ice-T goes, oh, it's just taking out the trash or something. And
just gotta throw this away.
They're lifting it up.
It cuts over, and there's a crane lifting the body up. And, it was like,
and they're like, phew. Like they weren't looking at the crane when they turned to look.
Sorry, everyone. That was a weird way to handle that.
Inappropriate time to clean it to my face.
I really, you know what though? I will admit this. I did kind of laugh at that because it was such a weird play on like that the killer, like Friday the 13th, that the killer's never dead. So I kind of,
it was funny, but then they had a shot of them throwing him out the window and him like going down the ocean. I'm like, Does this guy do anything? I mean, am I seeing this?
I don't know. I know it was a pretty elaborate It was a pretty elaborate payoff.
You don't normally see
like what should have been a pretty simple joke. Right. Yeah.
You don't usually see the body removal scenes after massacres.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah, but we gotta get the decontamination through in here. You know, clean this place up.
And then they transmitted the stuff, and like 2.5 minutes later, FarmCon building is.
On fire,
that blows up. Yes.
What happened there?
I think low tech. Ice-T had some line like, "Oh, we're taking back to something or whatever."
Yeah, did they do something?
I think like low tech went and burned the building down because
it was almost like they had people on standby. Like Ice-T was like, "Everyone, hold on. I think
almost done. 30 seconds more."
It wasn't even that. It wasn't even like 2.5 minutes. It's like literally then.
This guy I didn't even invite to the headquarters. He's talking with the dolphin. Everyone, stand by to burn it down.
And that's it. They end like looking at the blown up building.
Yeah.
I forgot they had another immediate callback too. There's one in the middle there with the grenade.
Oh yeah.
The lady had like
close up of the grenade in her purse or whatever.
Pink grenade.
And she's like, oh, that's my stuff. They had a tight shot of the grenade. Oh, you never know when you need a grenade.
Right. And then and like,
what, like the next scene was
25
like,
seconds later, she's using
the grenade.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is like the king of callbacks instantaneously.
They're almost not even callbacks. It's almost like just quick setups where you're like very basic setups so everyone's like, oh, I don't know if they're going to understand that. We'll just put a really, you know, we'll just hammer that point.
When she had the grenade, I'm like, oh, okay.
It's going to come in the
end. It's going to come in something. And it's like, well, no.
Right
3
away.
Minutes later, it's all done.
Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah. So let's do a quick roundtable on if we thought it was so bad it's good. Johnny Mnemonic, so bad it's good. Yes or no?
Oh, me no. It was really boring. I looked down at one time. I'm like, oh my God, I was only 30 minutes into this thing. It's not really action-wise, not a little bit, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it just drags and the story wasn't interesting enough. And
yeah, I get really bored with mid-90s apocalyptic future, dystopian future movies, because that same look in all of them, and it's always way off the mark on what the future is, and it's just like, especially this one, I get really, really bored with.
Yeah, it has its share of ridiculous moments, but I don't think it was enough to cross that line. I'd just say it's bad.
Really? I did think it was so bad, it was good. I did find it boring. I was very bored for big chunks of it, but this movie had so many insane catchphrases. Every time I was ready to be like, no, it's just dull, like something really crazy happened. Like there's just so many crazy, like, you know, Keanu Reeves talking some guy into stepping in front of his own gun.
Right.
You know, two henchmen in a span of 5 minutes getting killed for being overly talkative by the good guys. And I'm tempted to actually watch this again.
The only reason I would watch it
again. Just to watch Ice-T.
Yeah, the only reason I would watch it again is just Keanu Reeves' performance is so freaking bad.
So dry and bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's like a robot.
The worst he's ever been. It's worse than Dracula. It's worse than...
Yeah.
I mean, the best movie he's ever done was...
Bill and Ted.
He was dry in that one, too.
Yeah, but he was...
You mean his best acting?
What's that movie?
The
Day the Earth Stood Still. Because he's a robot.
Well, he's not a robot. He's an alien.
He was an alien. Yeah. Well, I mean, like...
Yeah.
But so you,
I never, I
so the dry nature of him is like, oh, because he's an alien. It kind of fits, you know?
Yeah. I think he's...
That's the only one I've ever seen him...
I think he's pretty decent in Speed. I think Speed is very watchable. Well, he's dry, but I think
the movie's watchable.
The movie's watchable, but him in it, I mean, his acting in it is...
Yeah.
He's always been that dry...
Yeah. If you want, well, I think his worst role, and luckily it's tiny in it, well, it's also a terrible movie, is the Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's
just as action
atrocious
as like,
in
yeah.
that. Yeah. He's just an absolute embarrassment.
Yeah.
Silence.
That's all we got. Awkward
okay, silence. Two. I have two so wrong it's right questions.
Oh, my God.
I'm finishing.
The curator's business.
One of them right now. Okay. First one is, in this movie, there is a weird throwaway line. William Gibson, who is, you know, the author of the book and who wrote the screenplay, there's a throwaway line that is an eerie preview and has come back and is mentioned a lot now in recent years, where a character mentions a very, very modern technology.
Yeah,
so
I got it.
Some of you may know. If you know it, you know, or does a character in this movie mention Skype, Google, Facebook, YouTube, or the iPhone? One of those technologies is mentioned in this movie from 1995.
Yeah, I caught it. I
didn't catch it.
iPhone?
Yeah, it was the iPhone.
I'll just go with YouTube because I have no idea.
It's iPhone.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When he's in the internet or the Apple store, the computer store.
Yeah.
And he's I need this, I need that, I need this, and I need an iPhone and blah. I think it's the visor, his eye visor.
I think
but
looking
he's
at
calls it
the
iPhone.
Eyeball.
But he said, did he just ask for an iPhone?
Yeah, he just asked for an iPhone.
I didn't catch that. I remember saying this.
I heard him say that. I was like, whoa, that's interesting. And our second so wrong it's right question is Robert Longo, who directed this movie, as is another recurring theme in this movie, did not direct many other movies. He was better known as an artist and sort of like a performance artist and doing art exhibitions. And I'm making sure I get the wording right. Okay. I'm going to give you four choices. He was best known in the 1980s he was an American painter and sculptor for an exhibition. This is what he is best known for an exhibition that focused on either... This is what was portrayed in the exhibition. Visuals of a summer camp showing children in open heart surgery.
What? What the?
Sharply dressed men and women writhing in contorted emotions. Fashions based on 18th century fishing gear mixed with NASA spacesuits. Or spaceships that appeared to be based on common household plants and pottery.
I can't remember any of those.
What?
I'll pick two.
Which one's that?
I don't know. Whatever two
right,
was.
I'll go
I'm
going to
go. I'm going to go with fishing gear and NASA spacesuits.
You go through them again. I'm going to hit the bathroom.
Mine. Oh my God. Mine would be.
Same Salandrito.
He picked B because he couldn't remember. But I would pick B because that's the one that popped out of me. It was B.
Okay. It is, and Andy Wolf left, so he couldn't handle the question. It was an exhibition called Men in the Cities, his Men in the Cities series, which depicted sharply dressed men and women writhing in contorted emotion. And that's your Johnny Mnemonic director.
That's art right there.
Yes, that is art. As always, you can follow actually everyone in this episode on Facebook. Yeah,
On Facebook.
Now you can.
On Twitter. Yeah,
everyone in this room now.
Everyone in this room now. Yeah, Brian missed this episode, so we're all Twittery. I'm at Wind Up Films. Cody.
At Cody A. Wolf.
Jack.
At Jack Estabrook.
And you can follow our semi-authorized parody account. At Randy Andy. At Randy Andy Wolf.
Randy with a Y.
Randy with a Y. Randy at Randy Andy Wolf on Twitter. And of course, you can always like us.
Wait, did you do the answer yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
It was B. We were going to wait for you.
I was right then.
We couldn't wait for you. Yeah.
Well, I had one more question, actually.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Mnemonic, isn't that like... You know,
it's
like
mnemonic.
So it's not like mnemonic, like the ding dong dooms or not like that.
Great question, though. Great question. Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's what I was confused about, the mnemonic.
All right, we created that.
Not mnemonic.
Anyway, back to our normal plugs. You can like Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out on Facebook. Episode summaries, pictures. Jack uploads several hilarious photos and. The episode notes, we are still 50 plus, or I don't know, however many episodes they are, we are every single one has made me laugh. The RIPD episode description had me chuckling out loud when I read that on our computer. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you will get the latest updates for what movies are coming next. All right, we'll be back very soon with another terrible movie. For now, so long.
This causes it.